Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
The USMCA is also a massive win for American manufacturers and auto workers.
This is the single biggest bipartisan legislative victory for this president.
You try to bring him down and he just does more. If you keep at this, he'll probably cure the coronavirus and make China pay for it.
They were very warm and cordial calls.
I've never seen a candidate predict his own death or say so clearly, I may not make it to the end of my first term.
Hey, fellas, good to see you. I wish I had seen you when you made present the colors.
Hey, good morning to you. Happy Thursday. Glad you're back with us there. How about the Greg Gutfeld had the I think maybe the bite of the morning there. They're basically saying that if the president's had a great week, what he's probably going to do next is cure coronavirus.
And make China pay for it.
In the meantime, impeachment.
And somehow he'll still not get credit for that.
Yeah, he's not going to get credit for it. Hey, glad you're back with us this morning. You know, if you missed it earlier, we had a great conversation with Tim Fitch, county councilman, on the Prop P monies that we all voted for in St. Louis County, right, to raise that money that was supposed to go for, in at least when I cast my ballot, the police. Police salaries, making sure they made a good living, and so we weren't scrimping all the time out of the budget. And now there's word that they've over-budgeted, and where did all the money go? So Tim Fitch is trying to track it down. We've got, of course, got that interview for you up on our website at 971talk.com/Cox. You can always go listen to the podcast. You can go to radio.com. You can go to wherever you download podcasts and pick up the podcast. And it's fantastic.
Absolutely. If you go to radio.com, make sure you favorite us, because then when we post those interviews, you'll get a notification and you'll be the first to know.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't say this often enough, but be sure and go to the Facebook page, too, and give it a like if you don't mind. We want to bump those numbers up a little bit. And whenever we post something new on there, you'll get a notification on your Facebook page that information's up. We put a lot of these interviews on there and some good information, so you don't want to miss that. We're back to impeachment today, where we've been talking about that. Because among other things, it is could potentially wrap up tomorrow. So we're going to talk about that. There's a new poll out today regarding the Missouri governor's race and who's leading and who's a potential challenger and how they all match up against each other. So that's interesting. And I'm certain to bring that up again sometime soon. I don't know when. I'm just kidding. No, it's got Greitens, it's got Galloway, and it's got Parson on there in potential matchups this year. And if you haven't heard the poll yet, I'll bring it to you here shortly because, of course, we've been talking about the possibility of Eric Greitens getting back into the race. And again, I have no idea if he's going to. I think there must be some consideration of it because I'm hearing about it from too many different places. But at the end of the day, I do think whether he runs or not, you're going to get a clearer picture of some point at how all that went down with the criminal charges in the city and how that might have been connected to other people across the state. I think that story is going to come out. Whether it benefits him politically or not remains to be seen.
We shall see. Rodney Boyd said he didn't necessarily put a lot of weight in it, but there had been whispers around the Missouri Capitol of a Greitens comeback.
Right. So we're going to talk about all of that and more this morning, but right now I need to get to our VIP. Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent on the phone with us, of course, with the Bipartisan Policy Center these days. And Jim, how are you?
Well, I'm fine.
You having trouble keeping up with it all these days? Because I'm telling you what, every day something new drops in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and we've had, of course, the coronavirus is an ongoing story. And this Mideast peace plan is, I mean, it's beginning to look like it's a major reversal in direction for this whole issue, and I mean in a good way. I mean, I've been plugging into it and talking to people, and I like the direction this is going in.
I do this every day for a living. It's rare that I'm completely speechless or stunned at the lack of attention something has received here. But I don't think I'm overstating it to say that what the president rolled out this week, along with Jared Kushner, was groundbreaking. No one has approached that Middle East peace problem between Israel and the Palestinians exactly the way this administration did. And at the end of the day, he offered the Palestinians exactly what they've demanded, which is their own state. And he gets completely shut down. The Palestinians don't even want to even entertain the idea.
Well, let's wait and see a little bit. I mean, the reason I think this is such an important development is, although the issues it considers are the same, generically, categorically, as the issues in the past, the effect of it, I think, may be much different. Okay, so we don't have time for me to get into, and I could get you better experts than me anyway. But it's a fair deal for the Palestinians. But the key is, it's distinctly not as good a deal as they were offered in the past. This is the fourth time this has happened. I mean, that people have tried to get them to agree to something. So Clinton did in 2000, Condi Rice did. We tried in 2014, and they've always rejected it out of hand. And every time they reject it, the next deal they're offered gets a little bit better. And the Arabs have always rejected it out of hand with them. Well, this deal is not as good as the ones they've had in the past. It doesn't give them as much of the West Bank. There are better security guarantees for Israel. Yes, they have immediately reacted by rejecting it, but the Arabs have not. Okay, so the UAE, Kuwait, I think Bahrain, Oman, and Egypt have all either conditionally endorsed it. I think that's the Gulf states, or they're keeping their powder dry, which is very, very different. And Abbas is the head of the PLO, is going to speak to a group of foreign ministers in the region and basically try and rally them all behind. Now, the point is, this is reversing the polarity. Okay, in the past, it's Israel that was isolated.
Right.
This agreement may be isolating the PLO, because what people are saying, and the Europeans are also telling them, saying, look, this is the last off-ramp. You need to take this. And if they don't, you see their position and their support. I mean, the danger for them is that they get isolated, and then we begin implementing this unilaterally. And it gives Israel, for example, the right to annex the Jordan Valley. So for once, seeing that the problem in the past has been they've never really had an incentive to do anything, because they either get a deal that compromises Israeli security, which is what they really want, or they continue, they marginalize any offer of a deal and continue getting support for everybody. Well, that's reversing now. It's really, I have to say this, okay, it's a remarkable achievement, whatever happens with it, by the Trump administration. And I really see what they're doing in the Middle East. I mean, they've had a lot of wins. I think the fruition of a policy of 2 or 3 years.
Well, I don't think anybody could deny this statement by Bibi Netanyahu. Listen to this.
Today, I repeat, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for the state of Israel. You've been the greatest friend that Israel has had in the White House.
Yeah, he didn't qualify that. And here's the thing about it, and I love the way you couched this. The Palestinians have been offered better deals. I agree with that completely. But they've never been deals that the Israelis, as a group, I mean, not as one party or the other party within Israel, Both leaders in Israel have come together behind this idea that then also offers the Palestinians what they want. So that's kind of what makes this unique, right?
It's a fair deal for the Palestinians. They'll get a capital in a little part of East Jerusalem, but Israel will control the religious sites. Israel will formally recognize a Palestinian state. That's never been on the table. They've signaled, and I won't get into the niceties of it from a diplomatic standpoint, but they will formally recognize a Palestinian state. On the other hand, you know, past deals have given them, the Palestinians, like 90% of the West Bank. They get 60 to 70% here. Israel gets to annex the Jordan Valley. There's a bunch of other things in here. And the signal that Trump is sending to them is, look, intransigence is not going to get you a better deal. It's the goalposts are going to move away from you.
Yes.
So now they finally have a real incentive. That coupled with the crucial fact that their funders and supporters in the Middle East are not rallying behind them now. Okay. So this is changing the landscape. Now, whether they will negotiate, I think there's actually a chance that after they try, if they try and rally their friends and can't, that they may actually sit down at the table. Now, that is not going to be the end of it. Okay. But I think there's a chance. And if they don't, then it's going to leave them more isolated instead of Israel always being more isolated. You see, and I think Trump threaded the needle between Netanyahu and Benny Gantz very well, too, if you know how that was all going on, because Israel's in the middle of an election right now. So this is a very, that was a very delicate situation.
It's a complicated issue. I don't know if he was to be able to pull this off. I mean, it would be unbelievable. I don't know if in an election year that can happen. But what I've said to people is it would be the condensed version of it would be the equivalent of if you take Missouri and Illinois down here at the riverfront, and right across the river in East St. Louis, we've got a group of people saying that Missouri has no right to exist and they want to wipe us off the map.
All told, if you all around the border, thousands of missiles, some of which are precision strike missiles, and tunneling under the state line to infiltrate terrorists and troops into Missouri. Well, by the way, I know Missourians well enough to know what they would do with that. And I don't think they would show the restraint that the Israelis show, frankly.
That's a great point.
Yeah, but you're right. But this is a major. Look, we've been able in the last 6 months to keep us out of a war with Turkey and protect the Kurds. And remember how everybody was screaming about that?
Right.
We got a pretty good result in northern Syria there. We've managed, we're managing a campaign, largely an economic campaign against Iran that's isolating them and weaken their position more than I can remember in the Middle East. Now we have a viable peace plan. And people say, you know, that, oh, Trump can't do anything in foreign policy. Look, I got to tell you, I listened in on a conference call explaining this. I mean, it was open to the public. The press was on it yesterday, and it really is a sophisticated plan. I like it.
You know, let me switch to impeachment stuff here before we run out of time, Jim. Put your Senate hat back on. Senator Jim Talent is sitting in the gallery as a jury member here. Where are you on the witness issue?
Well, I would vote against having witnesses, because as I've said a number of times on the show, I mean, to me, this is, the legal or constitutional aspects of this are enough to resolve it. I don't think this is in the category of impeachable offenses. I don't care what the witnesses would say. I won't go into why again. I think I'll just say presidents are entitled to pursue legitimate policies, and investigating that Hunter Biden arrangement was a legitimate policy. I think it's almost been a dereliction of duty not to pursue it. And even if it has political ramifications that they think will be favorable to them. So that's how I would vote. Now, I think they're going to vote, I believe it's tomorrow, on witnesses. I think it's still up in the air. I would be kind of surprised if they vote to hear witnesses. And I think a lot of that is not so much pro-Trump, anti-Trump, or even it's just a sense that they don't want this to drag on.
Right.
And I'll tell you, if this coronavirus thing becomes as big a story as it could and has as big an impact as it could, and the Senate is horsing around with this impeachment, I can see people getting very angry. And I don't blame them, because there are things we need to do, and we need to have the Congress involved in it and supporting the CDC and the FDA and passing the necessary legislation quickly. So I think maybe some people are thinking, I heard Tom Cotton on a different show saying, you know, a year from now, people may look back at this, if this coronavirus is bad, and say, what in the heck were they doing?
Yes.
Messing around with this impeachment.
So I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I know you used to work for him. What is Mitt Romney's end game here? I've tried to wrap my brain around this, but he seems to just want to be a contrarian to President Trump, who actually went into Utah and endorsed him for that Senate seat.
Well, listen, I don't agree with what he's talking about doing. And I think there are times when he has criticized Trump in a way that I thought was irresponsible. I mean, if you want to criticize Trump for some specific decision that he's made, by all means. I mean, I do, right? I mean, I can give you a list of things. But I think Romney's doing what he thinks is right. And, you know, you look at senators, and sometimes, particularly senators, as opposed to House members, and sometimes you say, I just don't know. And, of course, they do things for political motives, too, right? I mean, but I think he's calling it as he sees it. And it can be extremely frustrating. I think he's wrong. But that was my uniform experience with Mitt Romney. And so that's what I would say. I have not spoken to him about this, by the way. In fact, I haven't talked to him for months since I testified before one of his committees.
Right. Yeah, I've just, you know, I'm mystified by it. But, you know, I saw in Hannity last night, they took a poll in Utah. And clearly his position on this is not reflective of his constituency. So, you know, for what that matters.
No, I think that's right. It matters for a lot of reasons. One of them, you want to get reelected, but the other thing is you hear from people. I mean, you go home, and particularly when they're people who are normally your supporters, you can hide a little bit from the press and from people on the other side. But, you know, you've got a speaking date that's 2 months old to go out and address, you know, the Lincoln Day and, you know, celebration of the local Republican Party. And, you know, at that point, people come up to you and they tell you what they think. It's called democracy, you know, the representative process, and it's a good thing. So you have to think about that. What are you going to say to people?
Yeah, it's true.
Because they're, you know, Americans are not afraid to go up to their senators. Believe me, I know. I could tell you stories.
I'm sure.
I learned that my first year in office when I took a position on a local road that the local people didn't like. So I figured, well, I'll do a town hall meeting and just explain it to them. Well, like 300 people showed. I was a kid, and I was 28. 300 people showed up, which was a lot, let me tell you. And boy, they gave me an earful. So I looked at them and I said, you know, I think I'm going to go back and review the decision I made on this. And you know what? They were right. What they were telling me about traffic on that road, I went back and I went to the highway department and I asked a few more questions. And guess what I found out? My constituents knew the traffic on that road better than the highway department knew. Boy, I learned a lesson there.
Yeah,
I tell you, I really did. I didn't make that mistake again.
Yep, and hopefully Mitt's getting the message too. I'm hoping this maybe they vote on this tomorrow to bring it to an end.
Yeah, listen, I think if McConnell, and I don't think McConnell's afraid of the politics of this. I'm not sure if they call witnesses at all, who it helps and who it hurts politically.
Yeah,
but I think there is an issue of, do we want this issue to drag on, especially when we know what the result's going to be.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
You know, there are other things we need to be paying attention to. So I think for that reason, probably McConnell would like it to get wrapped up.
To end. And I'm thinking maybe tomorrow. Jim, I'm out of time. Thank you. Great discussion.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it. To @ Jim Talent on Twitter, former Missouri Senator Jim Talent, bipartisanpolicycenter.org. What say you? Charlie's been holding on. I'm going to get to your phone calls coming up. 314-241-9797.
No, it doesn't surprise me because it's consistent with a lot of what you've seen. I mean, you just look at the media landscape since President Trump took office. It's consistent with a strategy by Democratic political operatives and propagandists who have laid out that you know, they would pressure media outlets and journalists to resist what they call the normalization of Donald Trump.
That was Laura Logan in case you didn't recognize the lovely lilt in her voice. We had her on here right after she got fired by CBS. She's now doing some work for Fox. But why are you smiling at me like that,
I'm
Tricia?
Just making the face waiting for the voice.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, he Laura didn't do Logan. It in his Laura Logan voice.
Laura Logan.
I love her voice. Anyway, she's talking about the fact that she's not surprised the way the media just sort of blew off this Middle East peace plan that got rolled out this week. And I love how Jim Talent explained it. Mm-hmm. This is the last train to Clarksville, folks, if you're in the Palestinian movement and you want your own state. It was never going to happen the way you wanted it to happen. They wanted their own state to be drawn with a boundary right through the middle of Jerusalem so they controlled half of it, and they wanted to continue to be able to sit over there and lob bombs mm-hmm. into the other country. That's never going to happen. But if Israel's on board with it and Israel has some their security concerns taken care of as part of the agreement— then you start getting into realistic territory of giving you a state, and you need these Hamas people need to be contained. That's what's got to happen for that to happen. This is the most realistic approach to it that's ever been taken, and the mainstream media ignores it, just like Laura said, because they don't want to give Donald Trump any credit for it. That's at the end of the day. I love how she pointed that out, too. The mainstream media doesn't want to touch it because they don't want to give Trump any credit. Hey, let me get to Charlie here on line one. He's been holding a long time. I'm sorry about that, Charlie. Had to get to Jim Talent there. What's on your mind?
No problem, Mark. I appreciate you taking my call. I serve on the Jefferson County Council, and I listened closely to your interview with Councilman Fish up in St. Louis County about the Proposition P. We passed our similar Proposition P here in Jefferson County for the same purpose, to fund our law enforcement. And we followed closely what went on in St. Louis County with their proposition. And we ensured in our legislation that the money would go strictly for law enforcement. And we faced a little bit of opposition to put that piece of language in our legislation. So it was we did it a little differently and tried to make sure that the money was ensured to go where it was intended to go.
Well, you know, it didn't take long here in St. Louis County because we didn't have that kind of language, Charlie. And it didn't take long before I think it might have been the mayor of Chesterfield or someone suggesting he was going to take a portion of his share of the money because every municipality got a piece of this. He was going to take a share of his money and use it to fill potholes. And the public rose up and said, no, that's not why we voted for this. I mean, you can argue that filling a pothole somehow contributes to public safety, but that's not what people had in mind when they pulled the lever for this. And I put up red flags about it at the time. I'm like, listen, I support law enforcement more than anybody I know on radio in this city. I do, completely. But we need to make sure that this money is going to go where they claim it's going to go. And we were never given that assurance at the time because they argued they couldn't word the statute like that because of county law or something like that.
Well, there's always a controversy over it, but you know, we overcame the controversy and the council put in language that ensured it would go to where it was intended to go. So kudos to the council members that voted in favor of that.
Yeah, good for you, Charlie. I'm glad to hear a little bit of common sense going on down there in Jefferson County. Thank you.
Well, we try to work forward to that.
Outstanding, sir. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the phone call.
All right. Thank you for taking it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you too. You know, I said this back around merger time. Do we still have the no merger minute up there? We haven't heard that in a long time. I think it's time for a comeback.
This is your No Merger Minute.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
You need to get your head out of your butt. Focus on the real issues.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
How about new?
Still one of my favorites. Still
yes.
One of my favorites,
yes,
right?
Classic.
So I am convinced to this day, and maybe we can get a phone call into at Steve Stinger in wherever he's in prison right now and ask this question. I don't know if he'd ever admit it, but I am convinced completely that one reason Steve Stinger was all in for Prop P is that even way back then, he knew that Better Together was coming. And he knew that as a part of that effort, they were going to have to pay for policing throughout St. Louis County and all the municipalities. Because remember, the Prop P money got split. Half of it went only to county government, and the other half of it went to all the municipalities. until there are no more municipalities because they're all one entity called the Unified Government of St. Louis, at which point that 80-some million dollars a year in taxes are all in one pot so that you can consolidate police from the city and the county and all of these little municipalities out in the county. I'm still convinced because I didn't understand why he was all in for something like that that was only going to support law enforcement. And I, in hindsight, I believe that I fell for it hook, line, and sinker just like everybody else did. Now, what we're dealing with today is a separate issue, but I do believe that drove, that originally drove the push for additional funding just for public safety, because that would be something they then wouldn't have to worry about once the unified government came together. They wouldn't immediately have to go out and seek a tax increase. It just makes sense to me. I more and more think like that. Let me get to Bob here on line one. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, just what you're saying, and I got to ask a question first. The money that gets raised, okay, for the police department, which I'm in favor of, but I voted against it, and I'll tell you why. They have an existing budget. So you can say this money's earmarked to go in to help, go ahead and use it for the police department or whatever. The problem is you have an existing budget then that if it says, it doesn't say this money plus what's already in the budget goes to the police department. Let's say it's $100,000 and you're going to raise another $50,000. Okay, well, then they take $50,000 out of the $100,000 budget you have already used to fill potholes, and then the other $50,000 brings it back to what it was already. And the problem with the language with this kind of stuff is we as taxpayers are sick and tired of trying to help people, and then the legislators and the mayors and everybody else take funds from the other department and reallocate it. Same thing that happened with the education system when casinos came into the state.
Yes.
I fought against it because I'm from New Jersey, as you probably can't tell, and seven mayors went to jail, okay? But the money from the casinos was supposed to go ahead and help further the education system. And what happened? Money got taken out of the education system's budget, and then the other money went in back and supplanted it. That's
sure did.
The problem.
Sure. Yep, it is a problem, Bob, and you're right about that. And so just to be fair to the folks at County Council, I don't agree with everything they've done here. Thank you for your call. But back in May, Tim Fitch brought this up this morning, County Councilman. They spelled out that only certain county departments could get the money. The police department, the jail, the prosecuting attorney's office, the county counselor's office, the family court, and the muni court. And I think they spread it too thin, personally. I think that's what they did. Politics got involved. They saw a pot of money. They decided they're going to spread it out. And at some point, it's not being used for police, which is what I think people had in mind when they pulled the Prop P lever. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm going to get to your phone calls here. 314-241-9797. There's a new poll out about whether Eric Greitens should run for governor again. What say you? Call me. If he ran, would you support him in the primary? If he won the primary, would you support him in the general election? This poll says Missourians would not.
I want to say again what I've said from the beginning. This is a political witch hunt.
All right, former Governor Eric Greitens, there's a poll out today that says Missourians would not support him jumping back into the governor's race, either in the primary or in a general election with a hypothetical race against Nicole Galloway. This was an American Viewpoints poll. It was commissioned by the Uniting Missouri PAC, which supports Governor Parson. So just know that going into it. I don't know if it was a push poll. I don't know what kind of questions they ask. But they surveyed 600 people in Missouri. Those were the results. Parson beats Galloway 54-36. Supposedly in the same race, Galloway would beat Greitens 45-44 with 7% undecided. I ask you to call in and tell me, would you vote for Eric Greitens if he ran again or not? And we got a couple people on the line here. Let me get to Tricia on line four. Tricia, how are you?
Great.
So what do you think?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Absolutely. I would vote for him again.
And so tell me why, because I know in my discussions here with Tricia and Denise, they are not fans of him getting back in the race just because of all the negative stories that came out surrounding, his personal life and all that during the race. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No. Yeah, that's not exactly
why not?
It.
Well, if you went back and went up to the people that had skeletons in their closet and done things wrong, there wouldn't be anybody in politics. And I think what happened to Greitens was wrong. And the first thing he needs to do is get rid of the ones that lied, perjured themselves, and did this.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't. Are you part of any of the groups that are supporting him running again?
I would say yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Tricia. Thank you for your thoughts on that. I appreciate it. Let me get to Jim here on line five. Jim, how are you?
Hi, doing good.
Good. What say you? Where are you on this?
I would support him. I believe he was railroaded by the Soros-funded Greitens group. And he rankled too many feathers of the old Republicans because I think he does a lot like Trump does. He's not a real politician and was shaking things up.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I appreciate the phone call. Let me get to Jim also on line one. Jim, what do you have to say about Eric Greitens running again?
Hey, Mark, I would be against it.
And
because it would be too much of a distraction. We could use some straightforward, calm government for a while.
Mm-hmm. And you see that as Governor Parson, right?
I see that as not Greitens.
Okay. All right. I think a lot of people feel that way.
It's like, you know, Parson's been doing a pretty good job. Unless you have something, that particular issue you don't agree with Parson, it's been pretty calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
why ruffle the factor?
Yeah.
I don't mind. I don't like that people have affairs, but that's not it. It's the showy riding Trump coattails.
And the money.
And there are questions about money.
Well, it seems like the polls agree with these two.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.